Welcome to the Awakening to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Athena. This podcast is more than a podcast. It's a transformative journey designed to help you awaken to your abundance, for you to discover what living the fullness of life means to you, and to co-create that life in this podcast community. As always, we're jumping right in with today's episode. So this episode is actually a follow-on episode from episode 15. So 15 and 16 go together. They were initially recorded in one day. However, it became about an hour and 40 minutes of video, and so I wanted to break the two up over two episodes that are closer to 50 minutes each. And this is the second part of that. So if you haven't seen or listened to episode 15, I highly recommend you do that so you're not completely lost. And you'll note in this episode that while I tried my best to edit it to not have a break in a weird spot, I had to go to the bathroom when I was recording this initially, not at the same time that 50 minutes for one episode would work and 50 minutes for another episode would work. Unfortunately, my bladder doesn't cooperate that well. So there is kind of a weird little break at some point, but you know now what's actually occurring. I hope that you enjoy this follow-on episode. So while we were in New Orleans, either while we were there or right before, we got the news that he was going to be deployed. Like really quickly, pretty much right after the wedding, actually. So it was a very fast turnaround. And so we ended up obviously not having a honeymoon at that time. And instead, we did a sweet little road trip after the wedding and went to Nebraska and watched one of his cousins get married. And then I think we ended up flying home from there. But it was an interesting moment because it was yet another reminder, like right before getting married, that we can have the plans that we want to have, but there is this bigger entity that makes decisions and tells us what we're going to do or where we're going to go. And it can change pretty quickly, which I smile because I feel like my journey has always been, thank God, little movements toward the ultimate. And I'm still in that, but the ultimate awakening. So becoming a military spouse and kind of having this larger entity tell us what we're going to do has made me or allowed me to be more open to letting go of control. And there were many moments where that was necessary. And there were many moments where, like the first deployment, I didn't handle it well, but I got better at it. And I think that those were baby steps to getting to a place where I am now and my relationship with control. And honestly, faith in the universe. Because the more that you let go of control, the more that you are able to trust some bigger force outside of you, whatever you want to call it, the easier life actually gets. So he was deployed and then the pandemic hit. And because he was in a place where I could actually go, I did join him because my job shut down and went remote. And so we spent the first like 6 months of our marriage in this pretty tiny hotel room during a pandemic, which probably wasn't the best first 6 months, but it was what it was. I mean, it didn't set us up as well as not having a pandemic or not being deployed or not being deployed during the pandemic. And then at the end of 2020, I ended up getting a new job, which I hated. And he had applied to this career path that we had been talking about. And the first time, he didn't actually get it. But this, before even knowing what manifestation was, this was the beginning of he and I manifesting. So it was so sweet and adorable. What we would do is whenever we were feeling really good and lit up, we would hold each other's hands and then we would raise them up. And whatever we were manifesting, we would scream it at the top of our lungs together in unison. And so when we were manifesting this particular new path for him, we were saying, we are the new path, right? And then later we were manifesting Monterey. And so every time we felt really good, and oftentimes this was like in nature and stuff, there weren't a bunch of people around, or we would whisper it if there were people around. We would say, we're off to Monterey. And we would do it like with this enthusiasm and this energy and this belief and this excitement and this love and this, exactly how you manifest, right? But it's just so sweet that we were doing it together without actually knowing what it was before I even got into all of this work. So we're at the end of 2020. We were making other plans. He had an option to go to graduate school. And so we decided that it would be a good time in his career to do that. So while he was not accepted into this particular program over here, we were going to make plans and do this other one. And this other, the grad school, was actually part of the path for the other program. So it's still aligned, right? And the big thing for me was we had this new way of moving forward. Now we're going to be moving to Seattle, where he's going to do grad school, and we're going to be able to be part of his family, which he had in his career. I think we were reaching like 9 years or something like that at that time that he'd been away. So if he could have some time in the military near his family, obviously that's what he wanted. And of course, I was on board because I loved Seattle. And I told him actually when we first started dating that I wanted to move there one day. So synchronistic, completely aligned, beautiful, all the things. Because I really didn't like my job, and this was the first beginning of the awakening, because I didn't like my job, because we were moving across the United States, because every single dynamic in my life was going to change, I thought, if everything is going to change, why wouldn't my career change? And then it was like, oh my gosh, what would that even look like? I've been so conditioned to just get a job, whether you like it or not, and do it, and then find another one that's mediocre or a little bit better or better pay or better benefits, and then go from there. So this idea that I am going to actually sit down and figure out what I want to do was kind of mind-boggling, and again, was the beginning of a little mini awakening.
Because it was like, well, why not? And at first, I didn't actually know if that was something that could be done as a military spouse. So in order to allow myself to even move into this idea of having a different career, I asked groups of military spouses, can you actually have a career that you appreciate and enjoy while you're moving every year or 2 or 3 years? And luckily they were like, yes, you can. Sometimes it won't always be perfect, but you can. And so I feel like I got like the little green light from the community to actually explore it. And so I realized after taking some assessments that I wanted to be a coach. And thankfully, being from Washington State, he was open to that more so than I think I was giving him credit for. Because again, on the East Coast, for me, becoming a coach seemed kind of woo-woo-y. And so I didn't know how he was going to respond to that. And thankfully, he responded very supportingly. And I ended up quitting my job a month or so before we moved, and I started my own training. And he ended up applying again to the program once the window opened for him to do that again. Not the grad program, but the other new career path program. And the week that I moved first to Seattle, I received a message from somebody in the new career path organization that basically said, we've made our decision and you will be hearing, your spouse will be hearing soon. And since I got a message, a very personal direct message, I felt like that was really good news. And because we were the two of us, and again, we wouldn't have used this vernacular at the time, because we were manifesting it together and because we were co-creating it together, because I wanted to go into this path with him, I did a lot of networking with people in this group. And so I forged good relationships with these people. And so I was able to get a little wink, wink, nod, nod when he got accepted. And I think that that probably helped our chances as well. Because the other part of that is I started my career in coaching military spouses. And so that community saw the work that I was doing. And because the military is wanting it to be a family affair and want it to be a harmonious thing for all family members, having a spouse that is aligned in that particular way is helpful. So we were delighted, absolutely delighted. And he ended up doing a year of graduate study that would benefit the program that he was moving into. But I didn't realize at the time that it was actually a difficult year for him. It was a difficult year for both of us. And so now, just to give you context, we're in June 2021. We're in Seattle. And because we had communication issues, and because there is a focus on inner strength and resilience in the military culture and community, I think things were happening with him that he wasn't communicating to me because he thought and figured and believed that he could work them out himself. But it felt like he was increasingly unavailable, which is a little bit of the avoidance attachment. And I was asking for more time, attention, and honestly, adventures. And we were also dealing with new dynamics. I had quit my job. I was learning. He was learning. He was in the civilian world for the first time in like 9 years. And then there was also family dynamics. We'd never been that close to his family before, physically. And so we were trying to spend as much time with them as possible. And then there were some family dynamics on my end with being so far away from my family and holidays and all that stuff. So we were dealing with a lot of things, and we're still dealing with the pandemic, right? And then the other thing is I ended up losing one of my 3 cats. One of them passed away in January 2022. So for us, it was, and it was also an intensive program that he was in school. I think it was only actually 10 months long, even though we were in Seattle for about a year. So there was just a lot of extra pressure going on. And again, we were continuing to go through the pandemic at various levels of caution. And then we were manifesting Monterey because, well, Monterey is absolutely gorgeous, but also because we had just made this big, big move from North Carolina to Seattle. And then we didn't want to, because there are two main locations where the program can take place. One is Monterey and the other one's on the East Coast. So we were like, we don't really want to go back onto the East Coast. Plus, again, closer to family here. So we were manifesting Monterey, and thankfully we received Monterey. And in July 2022, we moved to Monterey. And right before we moved, I ended up getting COVID. So I got COVID. He was here in Seattle with me, but he was going to go to Monterey to set up some things for me to go to Monterey and join him, and then for him to come back and finish up some stuff in Seattle and then fully move us to Monterey. And I ended up getting COVID. I gave it to him. He had already gotten onto a flight to Monterey, and then he had to stay extra time in Monterey because he couldn't get back on the flight to come back to Seattle. And we ended up having to move all of the dates that we had anticipated for our moving. We had to move it all because I was still recovering, and then he was still recovering, and then there were all these other things, like everything was lined up in a particular way, a particular order. And we did a really good job navigating it. And it was another mini awakening for me, because it was like, if we can have all these plans in place and then something like this can just come in and disrupt it, but we can get through it. We can get through anything. Or personally, I can let go of so much control, of so much planning. If it doesn't matter anyway, like it's going to work out, then like me, I don't have to do so much all the time. And I remember just being like, oh, huh. Whoa. That weight off my shoulders sure does feel so good. And for me, it was, again, another mini awakening to letting things go, not planning as much, giving it up, letting go of the control. And we were having a little bit of issues in Seattle. We were not fully working on the issues. And so instead of working on the issues, we just started living lives parallel to one another. We came to Monterey and I was still working on my coaching business and he was working on his training. And between July 2022 and November 2022, there was a continuation of the dynamics that we had in Seattle. So Thanksgiving 2022, we are in Monterey, and I am going ahead of Peter to my family in Virginia for the Thanksgiving holiday and spending some time with different friends and essentially just enjoying myself and anticipating his arrival. And one night when I was with one of my best friends and my godson, I got a text message that was very odd and said, "I need to talk to you and I'm not coming." I'm sure it said more than that, but that was pretty much the gist. And I didn't want to pull my attention or my presence away from the people I was with at the time. So I waited to call him until we were done, till the end of the night. And at the same time, I was really nervous because I was like, I don't know what's going on. I hope that he's okay. And like, he seemed to say that he was okay, that we just needed to talk. And so I called him pretty much instantaneously after I got back in the car and was alone. And he told me that he wasn't coming. And I did not handle that well. I did not handle it well at all. And here's the thing about dating somebody who is into personal development and is a coach and also has an ego. I was not compassionate at all. I, in fact, was the opposite of compassionate. I told him that struggle is a choice we make and that this isn't who we are as a couple and this isn't who he is. And I was angry and I made that clear. And I probably cussed and I'm sure I raised my voice. And it wasn't until I actually returned home that he actually told me the reason why he didn't come. And the reason he gave on the phone was because he was busy and he needed to finish things up and thus he couldn't come. And because we had been having problems about time management and spending time together, and quality time is one of my love languages. Of course it is, right? With an anxiously attached person. But also, I am working on my attachment style without really knowing that I'm working on my attachment style, because at this point, we didn't know about attachments yet, but I was taking actions to better myself and to be more compassionate. But obviously, in arguing, I still had some work to do. So he also told me when I got home that he was essentially struggling to keep up. And he told me that he put himself into therapy and he was going to be going 2 times a week. And he came clean that he had some unfinished business from the previous place we were, and that on top of what he was doing where we were currently in Monterey, he was trying to finish that stuff up. And again, he didn't tell me all this until we were in person. And I understood it better. I had more compassion at that point, probably partly because we went through a whole Thanksgiving away from each other as well. And it was one of those moments where it was definitely a red flag. And in hindsight, we should have gotten back into therapy right then and there. But as naive as this sounds, I didn't actually understand the magnitude of what was happening. Because in my mind, he was only going to therapy to help him figure out how to be a better soldier in the ways that he felt he was falling behind. And in reality, and again, I didn't know this at the time, it wasn't communicated until later, he was going through a hell of a lot more. And three things that have come out of this divorce for me, again, taking full ownership, is that I let the relationship be impeded by my tendency, actually, because I do have a little bit of avoidance. I would assume that I knew, this is part of the people pleasing, I assumed that I knew what he was thinking or what he wanted or what he liked. And that became such a habit that I stopped being curious and just assumed. And then also, as things got tougher, I just avoided altogether. And then I self-abandoned myself in many ways. Again, that goes back to the codependency and the people-pleasing. But at that time, I did ask a few friends what they thought I should do, if I should just leave it and let him figure it out, or I should do something else, and how worried should I be about all this? And the feedback that I got was to continue to communicate as much as he would be open to it, but not necessarily pursue something further. And of course, nobody knows what happens between two people in a relationship ever, other than those two people. And sometimes not even those two people, right? But I really do believe that, again, taking responsibility, I was afraid that there are problems bigger than I had anticipated, and I was avoiding them. We ended up skipping Christmas with his family, and we stayed in Monterey. And again, I tried to be as supportive and compassionate as possible. However, I do know that there were moments during that month where we would normally have some sort of Christmas tradition that he was not participating in because he needed time to finish up his work. And I did feel resentful, and I remember specifically one time decorating the Christmas tree all by myself with ornaments that we collect during the year, and we liked to go over the memories of those ornaments and just take ourselves back to the lovely moments of that year and years previous. And I remember having a couple of drinks and being quite resentful. And I don't think at this point I'm blowing up or anything, but I probably am making comments that make it clear that I'm not happy. And I'm obviously covering up how I really feel, and I'm not fully communicating either, or at least not in a very healthy way. And that is one of the reasons why I quit drinking. But he ended up getting all of his stuff in by the end of the year, before the end of the year, and we went to a national park nearby, and there was a winery nearby, and so we actually rang in the new year at that winery, which was a lot of fun. And it felt like stress was being lifted again and things were going to be okay because the next 6 months or so of the things he was doing in Monterey, he excelled at. And now that the other thing that he didn't excel at as much was over, we could have more freedom. And we did. And we hit the ground running again. And we were back to our old selves. And you can hear some of this in episode 3 of the podcast. We did a bunch of travel and we even bought our first piece of expensive artwork. And it was a birthday present for me, actually, which I still have. And we were also already manifesting our overseas duty station. So he essentially, at the end of 2023, was supposed to have a full year of training abroad. And then in 2024-ish, would start the next duty station. And so we were manifesting that next place. And we weren't doing it nearly as much as we had previously with the way that we manifested him being in this new career and us moving to Monterey. Because at the same time as all of this was happening, my personal development and my journey was starting to move into a spiritual direction. And I started to feel the connectedness of the world, of the universe. And I subscribe to oneness. And as I was going down that path, it started to make him feel uncomfortable. And so while my business was starting to move in that direction as well, with really understanding concepts of oneness, spirituality, manifestation, and creating our own lives, that was becoming a turnoff for him. And so we didn't do as much manifestation together anymore because I didn't want to put that in his face more than I needed to, more than I already was by just virtue of my business. And also, we were still having conversations about money because, again, we were traveling a lot. We live in Monterey. The spending versus somewhere in North Carolina is definitely different. But every time we checked in, while there were certain dates that we were discussing, we wanted to bring more money in by, it seemed like each check-in was okay. And so we're having a pretty good time again, hit the ground running, and he's actually still going to therapy twice a week, as far as I know. And in May 2023, we were coming back from LA and we had an incident as we were going through Malibu where I wanted to listen to something on my car stereo and he didn't want to listen to that. And at the time, I didn't know this because we weren't really communicating about what he was going through in therapy. He was trying to live more for his desires, become less codependent, less of a people pleaser, and just enjoy whatever it is that he wants to do. And so he was testing that out with me without me knowing it and seeing how I was going to respond. And so when he said that he didn't want to listen to this for this particular amount of time that we were in Malibu, which wasn't a very long period of time, not that he necessarily knew that, I responded and got upset. And I let him know that I was upset and that I didn't understand why I couldn't listen to on my own car stereo this thing that I wanted to listen to. And we stopped for gas shortly after, and he said something about going back to therapy together because it seemed like I still had some issues that were coming up. And while I thought that was a good idea, we were also in a couple of weeks going to go take our honeymoon to Italy. And he was off to a training before that. So there wasn't even any time to really go to a therapist just yet. So again, as busy as life can be, if we don't prioritize these kinds of things, they can easily fall to the back burner. And that's what it did here. When I say that, I'm also very aware that we're talking about all this happened at the end of like November, and then now it's May and things are getting better, or at least back to the way they were. And then we go on a honeymoon, and then there's all this other stuff that happens. So not only is our normal day-to-day life busy, but in general, this kind of blows up quite quickly. And so he did go to some training right before we went to Italy. And the training was about how to be safe while you're abroad. And I encouraged him to not be impacted too much by the training because we were going to go to Italy. And Italy is not that unsafe. But I think that there was a shift that occurred after he came back and before we went to Italy that I think partly had to do with the training. I also want to share a fun synchronistic story, actually two synchronicities. When he was at the training, it was in Virginia, where he was literally staying in the same building that I, when I was in high school, helped run retreats for. And while he was doing that, I was visiting a friend in LA who helped me with those retreats. So it was really beautiful, synchronistic magic, if you will, because he was literally at the place that me and my friend were reminiscing about at the same time. So it was really sweet and really fun. And he found out that the next duty station that we really wanted had come true. And this particular duty station was said to only be given to people who had been in this career path for a long period of time. It was a very competitive duty station. And for the first time, I think in his career, and certainly in the time that I was with him, we knew what we were going to be doing for the next 5 years between the end of training and his first duty station, which in the military, and of course, anything can change at any point, and it does for us, for me. But, oh man, I couldn't believe we had an idea of what we were going to be doing for the next 5 years. And I told everybody about it. I was so excited. I was like, well, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, and then we're going to do this. And we have a life plan for 5 years. Which, of course, is ironic. And the universe is like, sure, you can have that idea for a little while, Athena. So anyway, he comes home. I come back from LA. We go to Italy. And something has shifted, like I said before, and there feels like there's something different in our relationship. It feels like there is some judgment coming and that there is an unkindness behind the judgment that I'd never ever felt from him before. And at one point, we got into a bit of an argument, and he essentially gaslit me. And I'd never been gaslit by him before. And honestly, I'd never been gaslit at all, at least that I knew. And I was so taken aback that I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Is this gaslighting? Did you just gaslight me? And you can see on his face kind of like, oh, maybe I did. And it was just so interesting. But we were entering this new weird space that we'd never been in before. And so, although we had some really beautiful memories on that trip, for sure, to call it a honeymoon would not be correct. And intuitively, I could feel it. And the penultimate night that we were in Italy, I had these terrible dreams about divorce. And so when I woke up, he was not in the bed, and he was in this other area part of the hotel room that we had. And I went to him and I told him the dreams, and I was like, I would really love some comforting right now. And instead, he said, actually, I have been thinking about divorce. And so that last day in Milan, that last full day in Milan before flying back the next day, we spent apart, which we should have spent a lot more time apart during the entire month that we were there in general. I think that was part of the people-pleasing thing. We assumed that one another couldn't handle or didn't want to be by themselves. So that was about mid-May to mid-June. And when we came home, by the end of June, we had a counselor. And at that point, too, he had said that he wanted to see a counselor because there were things that he needed to tell me that he couldn't tell me without a counselor being present, which also was a signal that I didn't really fully pick up on then of not feeling safe and secure enough to be able to tell me something outside of having a counselor present. And he essentially told me that he wanted to separate and that he was afraid that too much damage had been done. So over the next maybe month and a half, so July and then mid-August, which is bringing us basically up to speed with where we are in the process of the podcast now, we talked a lot. We talked a lot about attachment theory. We talked a lot about what he was talking about with his therapist. He and his therapist were looking at different diagnoses for him, and he asked me to fill out a survey that was given to him by his therapist. And we were learning a lot about the attachment theories. We finally really figured out that he was avoidant, and I conceded that in the beginning of our relationship, I was anxious attachment. But with taking the quizzes and where we were then, I was secure attached. But when I took the assessments, my secure and anxious with Peter was right on the edge, which is kind of understandable considering that we're talking about divorce. And I have no idea, like, after thinking the next 5 years, I know exactly what we're doing and where we're going, la, 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 la. And now, a month-ish later, for it to have all blown up. And he said that he thought separating temporarily would reset his avoidance attachment style toward me. And he said that his priorities had shifted to where his career was now his main focus, and that I was no longer the priority, and honestly, that he was not a priority to be working on his own stuff with a therapist. So our counseling sessions were definitely deeply painful. And I didn't always respond well because it felt like a real sucker punch. And it felt, to me, kind of out of nowhere. And he seemed to have relayed the issues that had been on his mind in a way that it was already set. So whatever I did say in the therapy sessions didn't seem to be changing his mind at all. And so it felt to me as if he had already made a decision and that there was not much that I could do to change his mind. And it didn't seem like he was hearing me or willing to hear or willing to open his mind to see the positives versus the negatives. So that didn't leave me much choice other than to essentially accept the situation. So we took a trip in early August. And I agreed at the end of that trip to a temporary separation for when he, in that next year, 2024, was going to go and travel abroad. And so our counseling sessions really turned into, what does that look like? And honestly, those therapy sessions ended up fizzling out as well. And on December 19th, 2023, that was the last time that I saw him. When I dropped him off at the airport to go visit his family for the holidays. And so now you're more than caught up. And there's plenty that happens between August and December 19th. And there's plenty that happened after December 19th. But I just wanted to share with you all of this so that way you kind of understood and you see all the nuances. And if you've been through a divorce, you know this yourself. And the wisdom that comes with hindsight and time and processing and growth and expansion. And while, again, it was the most painful thing that I've ever gone through in my entire life, I would not change any of it for the world. And I will leave it at that because there is much, much more to come. I hope that this episode resonates on some level with you, that you can find yourself in one of these stories, in one of these emotions, because it's human. And if you're willing to share with me your vulnerable stories, I am here to listen. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and being part of this community. I want to hear from you. Did something resonate with you in this episode? Are you experiencing awakenings or synchronicities in your life? Do you have any questions or ideas for the podcast in general? Email me at podcast@abundancewithathena.com or DM me on Instagram at abundancewithathena and share with me your stories. And with your permission, I'll share them with our community. And until next time, keep awakening to the abundance that's always within you.